Hi, I'm Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.
Today we have Dom Brighton, great man. It's good to have, you know, another black man on the show. First one too, but yeah, let's see what he has to say. All right. All right.
I'm in, baby. My man JP, Jimbo Paris, how you feeling, man?
Great. About you, can you kind of give me sort of a brief summary about yourself, who you are, what you're about, and what your message is?
Yep, sure thing. So for those who have been living under all the rocks, name's Dominic Dom Brightman. Folks can call me Dom for short to make it easier. And I'm a certified self-leadership trainer with the John Maxwell team who loves to coach, empower, and inspire others to create their own piece of immortality, whether that's a book, a podcast, both, or heck, even just getting the courage and the confidence to get your stories out there, because everyone has a story to tell. And in this wonderful day and age that we're in, there are plenty of stories out there that need to be shared, especially the ones that will inspire others to really keep pushing on that extra mile and the way to go the distance and beyond. So that's really a little bit about me and how I got to where I am today.
So one word that really hit me was your own piece of immortality. Can you kind of get into what you mean by that? That sounds really interesting.
My pleasure. Well, there's this wonderful book I recommend a lot of folks to read, especially those who want a success mindset, those in business. And it's called The 7 Lost Secrets for Success by Joe Vitale. And in that book, he mentioned a wonderful man by the name of Bruce Barton, who actually was one of America's few millionaires during the Depression and actually stayed a millionaire after the Great Depression was over because he was a businessman. And he wrote a few books. One of them was called The Man That Nobody Knows. And in that book, he basically showed Jesus as a businessman because of basically the way he lived his life. Because ministry is kind of a business for those who may be Christian and whatnot. He even had a tax collector with him, of all people. And even though it's kind of hard to find some of his books today, you could still find them. Like, that's still a piece of himself that was published hundreds of years ago. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, published almost actually 100 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, 1920s, I think that book was published. And just stuff like that, just creating derivatives of yourself, books leaving pieces of yourself. Heck, even planting a tree that lives long after you're gone, just creating a piece of yourself, leaving a piece of yourself that folks can actually look back and say, this person did that. Like, hey, that Dom Brighton, he wrote Going North in 2016. It's the year 3116, and we still remember him saying spread the chocolate everywhere for some strange reason. So yeah, that's kind of what I mean about the business of immortality.
How do you apply this philosophy to your own life?
Good question. One of the best ways to apply this philosophy to my own life is by creating content. And the thing is, heck, I even remember seeing this post a couple of days ago about Picasso, about the fact that he produced thousands and thousands of art pieces, but only 10 of them are seen as classics. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes you have to really put out a massive amount, a quantity, before you actually get to that eventual big piece of quality. And that's really how I apply it to my own life. I just keep creating, keep meeting new people and learning from them and trying to apply something they may have shared with me that I apply in my own life. Heck, even one of them, the wonderful Sam Leibowitz, who was on the Going North podcast, mentioned how he actually recommends all his coaching clients to start a victory log. And for those who may be wondering what the heck a victory log is, for those who may know The Secret and the whole gratitude journal where you write 3 things you're grateful for, a victory log kind of takes it to a different level and puts a spin onto it. Instead of just writing things you're grateful for, write the small victories that you've won throughout the day. Waking up today, that's a big win. For me, getting on this show is a big win. And having it still happen is still a big win. Because setbacks are just a way for your story to go forward. Because if you take a setback and see it as a speed bump, you can drive right over it and see it as a setup for a future story and your success in the future. Heck, even writing 200 words down a day, that is another victory. Just writing those small wins, and then after a while, going back and looking over your past wins and see it as a journal of proof. And in a way, translating it to future content, future stories to share with other people. And that's really how I apply to my life, is just taking that advice from others, putting pen to paper, especially writing it down is more important because it sticks with you longer. And just, heck, even sharing it with others if it works for me.
And, you know, as you talk right now, I'm just going to say, you come across a lot as someone that's being like sort of a news broadcaster in a sense.
I've been told I got a radio voice multiple times, and that's kind of why I kind of got on this wonderful podcast with it, because I started one of my own. Because, hey, the thing about gifts, God gives his gifts to you to share with other people, not for us to just hide it under the bed somewhere and make it be friends with the monster known as self-doubt. Like, hey, it's a gift to share.
And you would also mention leadership quite a bit. What is your definition of leadership, and how do you think someone can sort of cultivate that sense of leadership? Because I would definitely consider you a leader and myself a leader. And how would you give others advice on how they can embrace that leadership aspect as well?
Good question. Leadership simply is people see and people do. People see and people do. That's probably the easiest way to put it, because when you see something, when you hear something, it's going to influence you, because at a higher level, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And what we see and what we hear is what we eventually become. Like a few years ago, which I can't believe, which is almost 10 years ago, when I came across the Hodge twins before they really went off on the deep end, and just listening and watching their videos just for laughs and giggles and just hearing their country accents. And then eventually I started having a Southern twang to my regular vernacular on everyday conversation with people, and folks would ask me, like, hey, where are you from? Like, you don't sound like you're from Baltimore. Well, that's kind of not true, but true at the same time, because a lot of folks from Baltimore don't put the T in there. They just say Baltimore. But me, I like to be proper and put the T in there. But yeah, I'm actually from Baltimore, believe it or not. But from listening to so much of their content, just laughing my butt off, like, I eventually got that Southern accent. So I was influenced through my ears when I wasn't even really paying attention. Taking it to a deeper level, the books I chose to read after 2012, where I decided to choose things that would benefit me and my future and others, like reading books from John Maxwell, reading books from Brian Tracy and countless other people, really helped me to develop myself into a more positive mindset individual. And one of the biggest things I help people to really do in terms of leadership is that leadership starts with self. And with starting with self, there's a wonderful acronym for folks, RAVE. I probably dropped this on 90% of my interviews, but I'm going to drop it again because sometimes folks need to hear it again. So the R stands for reading great material. The A stands for audio immersion. For those listening to the playback audio version of this wonderful show, then you're already doing good. The V stands for visual stimulation. If you're looking and watching this wonderful program right now, you're completing part two, if not part three, this wonderful acronym. And the E stands for encouragement, encouraging yourself and others. Because if someone's living and breathing, they need encouragement. The greatest coaches have coaches. Coaches always need coaches. Heck, some of them need therapists and coaches because, you know, coaches, they want to see you get to a higher level and they challenge you. A therapist really sits with you and just hears you talk for probably about an hour. And of course, you have to pay him a fee. But at the end of the day, we all need encouragement because we all breathe air. And we all need to drink water to keep ourselves alive and well, pun intended. And that's really what it's all about. So leadership is influence, because when people see, people do, and what you eventually hear is what you'll eventually become. So take care of the garden of your mind and your environment by making sure you put things in front of you that you want in your life. Like with this whole COVID situation, listening to the darn news every day, paying attention to the numbers, it's not good for you. I stopped paying attention to the news years ago, and I shortly got back on during the pandemic. But after a while, I had to get right back off of it, because hearing all that negativity all day is not good for you. Like, that'll spike up your anxiety and you'll go crazy thinking, oh, right, God, we're going to die. We're going to die. The turtles are coming to take us over and turn us into a shell. So, yeah, definitely take care of the garden of your mind.
And when it comes to all this, how did you sort of develop? Now, I understood how you kind of developed your personality and sort of the way you communicate, but how did you develop sort of your character and your disposition as a person? You know, you also come across as someone that's very comfortable in themselves. How did you sort of embrace who you were as a younger person? And, you know, don't be afraid to bring up race a bit. You know, that's sort of an underlying factor we never really talked about too much here.
Oh, sure thing. Yeah, because I call myself chocolate every day. Like, my tan's freaking amazing. Like, we got some amazing tans, man. Like, shoot, natural tan, man, is freaking where it's at, man. Don't even need to go to a tanning bed. You just wake up and be like, you know what? I'm going to be a Reese's peanut butter cup today. But back to your question, though, about character. So I basically jump aside of the video game of life. And when I say video game of life, trying to gamify a life a bit, like trying to become better than what I was before. The thing about race, creed, religion, no matter where you come from, you're going to have adversity. It's just that if you're of the melanated persuasion like the Usses, then, well, you're going to be at some higher disadvantages. Now, does that mean you should be a victim? No, but you can still be a victor and still overcome. That just means you have to work twice as hard as everybody else, if not more people, and make sure you market yourself twice as good as everybody else and make sure that you put yourself on the line. And character development comes from just really dealing with setbacks in life. Like 21st birthday, I received the gift of a car accident. 2017, about a good 6 months after publishing my first book, my father died after a bad case of pneumonia and his darn dementia that he had to deal with. Heck, even with COVID, like even dealing with an anxiety attack from all the crazy stuff happening out there, like all these setbacks, like dealing with those situations, heck, even being blessed with wonderful parents who are decades ahead of me and basically having to level up in a way because they were senior citizens when I came around. So really learning from them and realizing that, hey, life can be short, but also try to make it sweet as possible. Within reason that you can do, because even though setbacks are going to come, don't let that be an excuse not to work hard and basically put your foot in the shoe and get yourself out there and do the running, do the jumping that you have to do to really get over hurdles. So developing character comes from dealing with life setbacks and seeing myself as an overcomer as opposed to just a failure turtle.
And that's a pretty intense story. And do you think the setup of sort of your household may have had an even bigger impact, perhaps, on the way you saw life? And maybe it kind of pushed you to sort of, I don't know, be a leader in your own sense, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah, definitely solid question right there. It definitely did have a major impact because the thing about, heck, even with that RAVE acronym I mentioned earlier, another substitute E is environment. Like your environment will have a big impact and influence on how you carry yourself. And my father himself, he was a veteran in World War II and in the Korean War and was in the 82nd Airborne Division. And he also, his father was also a preacher. And he, even though my father didn't become a preacher himself, he still went to church and he took me to church every Sunday for Sunday school. Even when my mom didn't really like Sunday school that much, she preferred to go to the service. And from like 8:30 to 3 p.m. every Sunday for a while growing up, like I'd be in the church and just getting that influence. Neck, even seeing my father, even in his early 80s, still helping out the church and still making himself useful in his old age, lifting heavy boxes from a food bank to feed folks coming into our food kitchen every Thursday. Like just seeing that wonderful example of that hard work, no matter what the age, and actually even shaped really my mindset of making sure that I really stay as young as possible and make sure try to encourage other people not to really become 30 years old and say, oh God, we're old. Cause that's one of my biggest pet peeves is especially if they're in their 20s, no doubt, saying, oh man, we are freaking old. I'm like, man, if you don't shut up with your blasphemous mouth, like you're not old till 85 collecting Social Security. Cause my parents were basically working hard in their senior citizen years too. And they worked hard their whole lives and they still made themselves useful and they still got around. And there's still some people out there. Heck, I even talked with a wonderful lady on my show who didn't enter a bodybuilding competition until she turned 65 because it wasn't even on the radar. Now, she didn't win, but she still competed, even though that took a lot of courage, because no matter how hard you work, 65 is still 65. There's still going to be some wrinkles of life compared to a 20-year-old who was at the peak of their life. So just really dealing with that wonderful environment and just taking in that mindset of, hey, you're only as old as you feel. So what? Creaks and pains are going to come. It's a part of life. When you're, especially when adversity comes and stress affects the body, taking that over years on end on top of everything else, don't let that be an excuse to not still make a name for yourself and at least get some work done, at least have your own slice of life for yourself.
And we're talking now about making excuses, and that's definitely a big factor in what's holding a lot of people back. How do you think people can avoid making excuses?
It really comes down to just ownership. If you want to stop making excuses, just take full ownership. And it's definitely easier said than done. I can admit that, because sometimes I may feel like, oh God, like, man, I did not feel like getting up today. Another reason why encouragement is one of my biggest real core values in my life, because everybody needs encouragement. We need to encourage ourselves sometimes. Like the people we talk, or should I say the person we talk to the most every day is ourselves, whether we want to admit it or not. And whether or not you do it aloud, you're still going to do it in your head. And you have to constantly program your mind to say, hey, I can do this thing. Like, hey, I can achieve my next step in this financial abundance that I want to acquire. That next book is going to get done. I'm going to write 200, 500 words today. Even though they're not public, they're still going to go out today. And really just encouraging myself to really get that out there. And you have to encourage yourself, you right now, the listener, and remind yourself that you matter no matter what, because even though it's hard out here, it can still make you even better. Because the thing is, the classic phrase in churches is that there's no test, there's no testimony, there's no success story without a setback in your life. Like, success, the price to achieve success is failure. You have to get out there, take your hits, take your bruises. Life's going to punch you in the face, like Mike Tyson likes to say, and you're going to have to really deal with them and keep going no matter what. So the way to deal with not making excuses is by taking ownership of yourself and making sure that you can program your mind with, heck, even with motivational tapes, audio programs, heck, even like something I even recommend for some folks is a wonderful lady by the name of Dr. Allison J.K. She has some interesting guided meditations that are not your ordinary guided meditations. It's basically affirmations repeated in reverse, so that way you can get your mind out of that victim mentality for more abundance in your life, for more light energy in your life, for more, even more playfulness in your life.
Can you sort of get into the methods that you sort of do, or the things you sort of had to change about yourself? What were some of the challenges or obstacles you had? And I'm kind of thinking through looking at your social media here, and I'm trying to see kind of where, what was sort of the obstacles you had to go through in life in your journey to reach the person you are now today?
Yep, sure thing. Well, one of them was basically falling in love with reading again. Because with grade school, they give you books that you're supposed to read that'll probably make you hate reading. That was me in my case. I got to page 5 and just fell asleep, and then came to about a good hour later, like, oh darn, I got to write a paper about this. Like, oh crap, this is a long battle. And then come 2012, after the car accident, after dealing with those setbacks and really just falling in love with reading again, picking up wonderful books and actually taking the advice from those books. You have to really see yourself as a guinea pig at times. You have to really experiment. Like, and that's what I did. I experimented with certain things. One of the things I did, I call this the mirror force yourself method, where you ask at least 5 people in your network that will be honest with you, that have been around you a bit, to tell you what your 3 greatest strengths are from what they've gathered from being around you, and what 3 things you need to work on. And one of the things that a friend of mine listed is that I have antisocial tendencies. And I'm like, wow, for real? And that kind of took me aback, because that was like at the beginning of the journey when I was making steps like joining Toastmasters and things like that. But apparently he didn't see that version of me yet. He still saw the high school version of me before. So just taking that advice and making sure you keep your mouth shut through the process too when they're telling it to you, so that way you can take it in and see if it's see if it applies, and then take some action afterwards. So after that, join an additional club, went to more networking events, got my name out there, networked with other people, even referred business to other people if it applies. Heck, even one time in, I actually attended a public speaking seminar for a buddy of mine was hosting it, and I attended. There was like maybe 10 people in there, and one of the guys was a photographer. And we became good friends after that, because out of nowhere, even though we didn't talk for like 9 months, a person who guested on my podcast needed a film crew, or at least a photographer for her book signing. And when I recommended his website, he was like, dude, this is so freaking amazing. Like, we don't even talk that much. You actually refer somebody to me. So just getting myself out there, taking the advice, making yourself a guinea pig, and really making sure that you see if it works and keep doing it. Because if something works, keep doing it. It's kind of like when you say something funny once and you get that laugh, you're going to beat that joker to the ground until you don't get any laughs anymore. Or if you're like me, you're just going to keep laughing anyway at myself and just keep it all pushing.
And so you mentioned Toastmasters. I've heard of that a bit. And what were some of your experiences in that club? Like, were there any sort of moments where you were trying to figure yourself out still? And do you have any stories about stuff that's happened in Toastmasters that may have impacted you in life in any way?
Yes, Toastmasters indeed. I recommend everyone to join Toastmasters. Every single person listening right now and to the recording and the replay, because it's a great organization, low-cost organization, nonprofit, been around for almost 100 years, that helps you to become a better public speaker and a leader. Their tagline is "Where leaders are made." And I have to admit, I became a better leader after joining Toastmasters, because one of the greatest leadership lessons that I've gained from being a Toastmaster is that you have to be a pace setter. And when you're the pace setter, not everyone's not going to keep up with you. No matter how passionate you are, you can inspire people, but they're not going to have that same level of passion you have, even if you are red hot on fire. They may catch some of it, but they're not going to catch all of it. And that was one thing I learned through my presidential term at one of my clubs, because when I joined the club, I didn't see myself becoming no president at all. That wasn't my goal. I joined for networking purposes. And when it was my time to become president, I had an experienced team with about a couple of newbies, and I thought, oh, this is going to be an easy year. Well, I disappeared for one meeting because I thought they could handle it, and because I had to go to my day job at the time, and out of nowhere, I come back to the following meeting, and nobody else is there except for like one of my officers. I'm like, what the hell happened? One guy said he was moving, and he had to remodel his house. Another girl, she got her house robbed, and I'm like, wow, okay. But then she really kept no communication with me after that until a couple of years later. I'm like, okay, that was kind of strange. So I'm like, did I piss somebody off? And it was, and they didn't come back for a couple of minutes. I'm like, damn, like I thought we were cool. And just having to run meetings by myself and actually take on those roles, and when they came back, they eventually put themselves back in position, hopefully help out so we can get this team effort. When we got our goal of Presidents Distinguished that year as a group, we still got the goal that year. And even though we still had it, folks still have lives to live, and they had their different interests. And the thing is, you can find out what those interests are and see if you can cater to those interests. But at the same time, you have to realize, like, hey, when you're a pace setter, you're going to be a couple steps ahead of the people, no matter how hard you think, even if you explain it clear, like everybody's not going to really keep up with you.
Mm-hmm. You raise an interesting point there about how, I'm just going to kind of interpret what you said there entirely, how it doesn't really matter if you're very passionate, because if you can't set the pace, nobody's going to really be able to follow why you're passionate. They may like it and like your energy, but they may not really follow you, or you may not be able to get an idea across. And that's something that a lot of people don't talk about with leadership, you know? So that was a really, really good point you stated there. And you need a balance of both sort of passion, but also you need to be a bit, you know, grounded, if that makes sense. And you need to be able to direct the conversation a logical way, you know. You need to combine sort of that emotional side and that more logical side to create that great experience for people.
Oh, yeah, you can't just, like, try to manage people by fear and think you're a leader. That's not how that works. You'll be in for a long haul. It'll work for a bit, but good luck down the road, though.
I don't think that'll ever work. Like, dude, I'm all tired. Like, but you raised some very good points there, and what are some of your best success stories when it came to people that you've sort of helped to guide as well?
Ah, one of the best success stories, man. One of them is actually when a buddy of mine, Chaz Jackson, when I actually invited him to be on my podcast a couple of years ago, he got inspired to do a show of his own. And he has a wonderful book out there that's all about youth leadership called Gift and a Gift. And it's all about helping teens and young people like get over bullying and be the best leaders that they can be. And he's now certified with John Maxwell as well. And he wanted to start a podcast. And he was like, hey, can you be my mentor? I'm like, oh, shoot. Well, sure. That'd be cool. And he just kept dealing with setbacks and was having trouble starting. And that's the thing. Like, no matter how good we may appear to be, we're all still human nonetheless. Like, we still have to take bio breaks like everybody else. Like, no matter how much success someone has, they're still human. They still have fears. They still have desires. They still have basic needs like everybody else. And he was just dealing with some stuff. And he was like, hey, so how about I just offered him, like, hey, how about I open up my network to you, introduce you to some folks who'll be good for what you want to do, and introduced him to about a good five people. They appeared on his platform, and then now he's probably like 70 episodes in now, because he's been doing it as a live stream similar to you, and it's been transformed to a podcast itself. So yeah, it's been like just seeing him succeed with that, taking some of my advice and some of the advice from other people that he's appeared on podcasts with, like, that definitely has been a fun experience to seeing grow. Cause that's the leader's really the greatest return. A true leader is when he helps another leader find themselves and have their own version of success, because true leaders don't really get jealous of other people's gifts. They encourage them to shine and really define themselves and encourage them. Because the thing is, someone's light isn't going to make our light dimmer. Like, getting jealous of somebody is small minded. Like the thing is, it's either get better or get beaten. Basically, if someone has got a gift, let them use their gift to your ability. If you're the CEO of the organization, be the darn CEO of your organization, no matter how big or small it is. And if that person's shining, then let them get the credit, but just make sure they don't try to, you know, if they want to take over, then that's cool. They'll just have to find another place to work and let them shine somewhere else if they take it that far. But most times it's not going to really go down like that. So either really just get better or get beaten, and don't get jealous of people. Try to get better, better yourself. Use that as fuel to better yourself.
That's an interesting thing, because, you know, a lot of people, they get really, this is a big one too, because you're an entrepreneur. Do you think competition and jealousy can sometimes go hand in hand, even in like a business setting?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, the thing is, because not everybody's going to have the abundance mentality. Not everybody's going to have the mindset of, hey, they're doing better than us. Like, oh, we got to freaking knock them out. We got to cut their legs off somehow, metaphorically speaking. And some folks still think that way. There's a lot of people that think that way. And in a way, I think social media is one of the things that really fuels that fire, sadly, because back in the day when social media didn't exist, like, hey, you really had to put yourself on one of them classic one-page websites from like 1995 or Windows 1995, and had to get yourself in a phone book and phone books. It's like, dude, those don't exist really. And if they do, who the freak is using them? Like, go to Google for that. It's still out there, but the thing is, the real folks are those who say, hey, okay, so what are they doing that we can do? Because even though there may be big conglomerates like Amazon, nothing against Amazon. In fact, I encourage Amazon. Like, if y'all want to make $1 zillion, go on ahead. But hey, still support local businesses, local bookstores, and use that to your advantage. Use the underdog advantage by tapping into your resources, having more time to connect with your clientele, being able to communicate with them effectively. Heck, even doing a little thing special. Heck, I'll even shout out a wonderful business called Black Gold Publishing, where every package they send out, like if they send out some books, the packaging is in some gold packaging. It's like Black Gold Publishing. And that, when I receive one of the books from one of my past guests on the show and it came in a package, I'm like, wow, this is freaking amazing. Like, just little small details like that to make yourself stand out. Like, the thing is, no matter how big it is in terms of this, well, actually, it actually is really big out there to really put yourself out there and get your stuff out there, but still find a ways to know your difference, to set yourself apart, regardless of the competition. Like, use that competition to better yourself and not be jealous. Use it to become more creative, and explosive growth will happen when you tap into your creativity.
And speaking of growth, what do you think is the main aspect that's sort of holding a lot of people back? And how could they sort of get into more of that growth stage or that growth mindset?
Yeah, getting stuck. That's right. Yeah, sometimes life throws super glue or Gorilla Glue at our heads, and then we wake up and it's like, oh, crap, I got a pillow stuck to me. I don't, this ain't the comfortability I was looking for. Like, they talk about comfort zone, like, ah, this is uncomfortable, but yeah, it's a soft pillow. Like, oh, no. But for those who want to get out of the growth, well, want to get out of the little zone of no growth and stagnation, ask yourself, when was the last time I've done something for the first time? When was the last time that I've done something for the first time? Because that question will force you to really think, like, wow, I've not, like, read a book. I haven't done that in forever. I've been listening to nothing but podcasts. Or, heck, even, like, with me ziplining, I haven't done that in a while. I'll have to do that again when things get a little more sane, hopefully, even though it's kind of looking the opposite somewhat, and just really doing things that'll really expand your mind. Heck, even taking a different route to where you want to go. Heck, even going to a different restaurant, or heck, even going to a different website, listening to a different motivational speaker. Especially a few years ago, I listened to a different motivational speaker for about a good month or so, and just learned from them and their techniques and applied it to my own life. And just making sure you absorb from different areas. And trying to do something new will definitely help you get out of that rut that you're in, and also making sure you stay consistent, because consistency is also where explosive growth happens. If you're not consistent in what you do, if you're doing a good job at it, then you're going to be stuck in your past. So get curious, get creative, and ask yourself, when was the last time you've done something for the first time?
Dom, do you have a website by any chance?
Sure thing. I got a wonderful website called DomBrightman.com. That's DomBrightman.com. All things Dom Brightman is there.
Nice. All right. So can you possibly give us a bit of a run through of sort of how this website works and how people can sort of navigate it? This is just some sort of free promotion for you, of course.
This is interesting to do. I freaking love it. So as with a lot of websites, you're going to have your wonderful pop-ups. This one is an opportunity for a free gift called the 21 Lessons Learned from 4+ Years of Podcasting. A lot of folks, especially in 2020, are like, hey, I'm trapped at home. What the heck am I supposed to do? Let me start a podcast. Oh, crap, the mics are sold out. All right, I'll put myself on the waiting list. And they finally got their microphone. So if you want to learn from a guy who's interviewed over 550+ authors, who is eventually going to interview 1,000 different authors across the globe, who's gotten his podcast ranked in the top 10 self-help podcasters in the world for 3 years straight, this is definitely one ebook you want to pick up. So that's definitely the magical pop-up. And when you click out of the wonderful box, the invisible Vanna White, thank you so much, it'll take you straight to the Going North podcast. This is probably one of my biggest ways of living my life motto, advance others to advance yourself. And with my podcast, interview authors all over the world. So big and small, if you're a New York Times bestseller, millionaire, billionaire, all the way to the regular Joe Schmoes working a 9-to-5, heck, even truck drivers, heck, even this past Christmas, I had a guy who actually was a Marine for 3 years in the U.S. Marines, and he finally published his first children's book after becoming 53 when he first got inspired to write when he was in the sixth grade, called Little Man's Big Day. Like, I had him on the podcast last Christmas, well, last Christmas. And so, like, it doesn't matter what your background is. It's a nice, diverse group of people. So check out that Going North podcast. Indeed, heck, even for those who want to hear more of Dom's goodness, you can click on media appearances. That's what media appearances is for as well. And of course, books. That takes you to the three books that I've had my name in. So there's Going North itself. That's also an audiobook. So if you're always on the go, yours truly is reading it. Then the follow-up book, Stay the Course, book number two at the bottom. That's also in audio as well. And the good thing is they're both under 100 pages. They're both under 100 pages. Good times. If you don't have all day to read 500 pages, I got you covered like a blanket, y'all. And the third book is Crappy to Happy, Secret Stories of Transformational Joy. Yours truly and about 29 other authors share stories that we've had to deal with in our own life to get to our happy moments. So I'm sure everybody's had a crappy day. We've had happy days too. So if you want some wonderful stories of grit, grace, and love, yours truly is part of this as well. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll be like, man, this is a darn good book. So that's what to expect on the wonderful Dom Brightman ChocolateWorld.com website.
And I noticed there's a lot of authors. Are there any specific genres or specific people that you kind of like to bring in to your show? Like, are a lot of these people self-published authors, or do they usually get help from somewhere else? Or what kind of area is this usually? Is this mainly self-improvement, self-help, I mean?
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I decided to let 100 flowers blossom. So I've interviewed just about an author from almost every genre. I never thought in a million years I'd have a romance author on my darn show. And lo and behold, I had three of them on my show in 2020. So who would have thought? So yeah, so if you're a romance novelist, that's cool, because the thing is, romance novels make a lot of bukus of money, but the thing is they have inspirational tone because they still have stories to tell to inspire this, because folks may be like, how do you get the writer's block? Oh, I just eat milk and cookies. Oh, you also are a nurse in the daytime, but you have this romance novel as well. She's like, oh yeah, that's one of my creative outlets. So nonfiction, at the end of the day, it's an inspirational show no matter what genre you're in. I like to interview just about almost anybody except for politics. We don't get into politics on the show, although some may have been a little bit more liberal, some more conservative. I really don't care. I come from the journalist aspect. I'm just putting it out there and let the people decide. I want to be a true journalist right here. Don't want to pick sides on this one. So that's probably the only one I might not tackle. But as they say never, so we'll see.
And yeah, that's all the... And what about media appearances and partnerships? What's going on there?
Oh yeah, some media appearances. Those are just some past podcasts I've been on that are still active. And the thing is, the drawback about podcasts is the fact that if someone kind of pod phase and forgets to just publish more episodes, then well, they go by the wayside. But these, all those should still be active. So those are just past interviews I've done. And the partnerships, those are some businesses that are actually partnered up with as well. So if you want to hear more of what the Chocolate Man has to bring, the Dom Brightman has to bring, it's all there. And partnerships, those are some affiliates that I'm part of. So there's Old Tale Universe and there's the Legendary Authors. So Legendary Authors, one of my past guests, she's a multi-time bestselling author. She has about a good 11 books, all that became bestsellers. And she has this wonderful course to help people become a legendary author. And Old Tale Universe, that's a media company that likes to help folks have a Roku TV channel to put their content out there, because streaming basically skyrocketed. It 10x'd in 2020, so I'm part of that as well. And Biz Catalyst 360, that is a treasure trove of blog goodness. So I'm one of the featured contributors there. There's probably 100+ contributors on that wonderful site. So if you're looking for something informational, inspirational, that's definitely one great site to check out. So those are just a couple of things with the old partnership sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And would you say your business is supported more by the crowd, or is it more so by sponsorships or partnerships? I want to get more into the details about how your business could possibly work.
Yeah, life moves at your speed of relationships. And not to say relationships are the main thing that really helps my business to grow is from referrals and just friends. Because the thing is, it's good to have 10,000 true friends as opposed to $10,000. Because even though both are nice, 10,000 friends, you'll probably get close to $1 million with just the $10,000. Because the $10,000, you'll just get the loan or whatever, and you can have that startup money. But with friends, it's like they can connect you with other people, like podcasts I've been on. I've sold books after being on shows. Heck, I've even referred past guests to other platforms. And that's the thing. Like, hey, if you're a cool human and I like you, then you'll be in good company and you'll stay in. You'll have some free real estate in my brain. So that's really how the business works. I put content out there for folks to devour. And if they like what they hear, like what they see, they bring me on to speak and they buy some of my content. Neck, even folks even refer me to other podcasts to guest on, so that way I can put more of my name out there to market what I'm doing. So yeah, that's really what it is. It's a kind of a relationship model, because the thing is, the more relationships you build, the wealthier you become. And I'm not just talking about the dollars, even though those will make you holler. Like, relationships are great.
That's a big one too. A lot of people focus too much on chasing the money. And why do you think that's such a bad thing? And why do you think people should focus more on cultivating other aspects instead?
Oh, yeah. The reason why folks are chasing money so much because of Clinton, a.k.a. bills. It's because of bills, man. That's right. Folks be like, I got to live. I got to live here. And the thing is, they're like, oh, I want to live paycheck to paycheck, or just got to make this next thing count, as opposed to making meaning. So that's probably one of the main things that holds people back. They don't focus on the long term. They focus on the short term. They have a myopic sense of like, hey, if I get this paper, you know, get to flip that and really just live the life I want to live. But at the same time, it's like, hey, a bigger life awaits if you're able to make the meaning first and then the money comes later. Because at the end of the day, people have problems that they need solving. And if you can solve problems, the more problems you solve, the more money you make. The more meaning you make, the more money you'll make. The more friends that you'll make, especially business relationships, the more money you'll make. Heck, even that's one of the funnest things, that sometimes strangers are really more of your family from time to time than actual family. Because the family, they may have seen you growing up for years on end. Like, I'm sure you, my man Jimbo, folks would be like, man, my man's got his own freaking live stream TV online, man. Like, a man's doing it. And behind closed doors, maybe like, man, what's he doing that? Like, I could do that. I just need to know what the heck I'm doing. Maybe I should just eat this French toast here. But like, just stuff like that, like just really deciding to just go out there and make as many friends as you can on the good end of the stick and just really build those relationships up.
You know, that's a big thing. You know, everyone is going through something. Okay. No one is perfect with a problem free life. So,
nope. <yeah. laughs> People got problems. They say more problems, more money, more problems, and more problems, more money. It goes both ways. You just have a different set of problems.
And how do you think people can reduce problems in their lives? What do you think?
How to reduce problems in your life? Well, seek to be a good human. I'd say that's one. Definitely seek to be a good human. I'd say, like, making sure that if you're doing good in the world, I'd already find ways to do more good. Like, if you're donating a lot of money to charity every year, find a way to donate even more money to charities every year. If you're like with me myself, I seek to try to grow at least 1% every day, if not 10% every year. And it's actually helped me grow with a lot of things. Like this year in particular, I've actually guested on more podcasts and sold more books this year than I did last year, because I decided to take that growth mindset and put it into practice. So seek to always grow. Growth is happiness. Like, if you can find ways to make yourself truly happy by truly growing and doing harm to nobody, we'll definitely have less problems in the world. We'll have less issues in the world. We'll basically have less magazines in the world, if you will, if you could just focus on making sure that, heck, even my life mantra, advance others to advance yourself. Find ways to help more people, and that way the more people you help, the more rich you'll become in more ways than one. Because folks on really don't forget, they truly don't forget people that have truly helped them out when they need it.
Mm-hmm. And there's always this thought in my head, I'm looking at that title, and why was it called Going North Podcast? Why North specifically? Is there some significance with the North?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Santa Claus and all of the snow, it's had to call it going. Let me stop. That ain't the reason for it. That's not the reason for it. The actual reason is because that was the name of my first book, and it was originally a way to market my book. And the thing was, the title for my book came from a joke. It actually started off as a joke because I'm sure folks have asked you, Jimbo, hey, how's it going, Jimbo? And you'd be like, oh, fine, great, phenomenal, business is booming. And for me, one day, when my colleague asked me, how's it going, Dom? I'm like, ah, I'm going north. And another colleague was signing in too, and she just busted out laughing. I was like, really, dude? Like, just had to be corny literal, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I had to be the kernel of the corny joke kingdom, give you some cheese and corn, be extra cheesy, extra corny. And like, just all the way back then, I realized, you know what? I'm going to make that the top of my book, because Northbound success is really where it's at. You want to go up in life. You want to advance in life. You want to become better in life, no matter what. Like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be an author, you want to be, heck, you want to embrace your dreams, maybe get into the NFL, getting past those statistics, heck, even not even getting in the NFL, getting that promotion, heck, even finding that new relationship. Advancing in life happens when you point yourself up north to where you want to go in life. It's all about embracing your dreams and helping others to embrace them as well.
When it comes to embracing dreams, how do you think people should find their dreams? And I think embracing it is kind of self-explanatory. You just need to accept yourself. But how do you think people can sort of learn to find themselves? Like, for example, how did you find yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if only GPSs could work with that, man. Like, dude, that would be freaking amazing. Like, whoever thinks that technology would be freaking amazing. But one of the biggest ways, there's two things. One, I made sure I found my wonderful place of peace. We all need our POPs. We need our place of productivity. We need our pockets of peace. And my pocket of peace is giving myself 5 minutes of silence every day of my life when I first wake up. And sometimes that expands to 30 minutes and just letting thoughts come to me. Heck, even on top of that, asking myself questions to help even think of different ways, like thinking of, hey, what makes me laugh? What makes me cry? What makes me feel my best? What makes me feel drained? And just really taking those answers in. And then sometimes it'll just come right at you if you do it after a while. That's another reason why consistency leads to explosive growth, because that was a habit I've been doing consistently for years, like using my snooze button for a sensational moment of silence, like snooze alarm goes off. All right, time to sit up, time to be still, be quiet, be with my thoughts for 5 minutes. Oh, let me change this snooze button up to a good 30 minutes. So that way, hey, I can have 30 minutes to just be with my thoughts. And then after a while, it's like, wow, like just writing things down too. Like even keeping those wonderful notebooks beside me with a couple pens, because sometimes one pen dies, you gotta need another one. And just really just being with myself, asking myself powerful questions and just taking in the answers and seeing if it applies by later putting it into practice later.
And we're kind of getting close to the end here, but I kind of want to hit some more interesting questions. What do you think is sort of the future of you and your business?
The future of me and my business, well, it's going to be freaking on fleek, man. I'm telling you, it's going to have metaphorical weed. It's going to be high, yo. I'm telling you, sorry. It's going to be skyscraper high indeed, metaphorically. I'm joking. I'm being a little facetious, but yeah, that's the plan, definitely. Right now, I'm in the works of doing a couple books. I got a couple books in mind that I'm going to be doing. One's going to be another self-help nonfiction book, and the other one's going to be a big project that's going to be a multi-piece faceted project. That's going to be a book, audiobook, and online course, because a lot of folks tend to dig online courses because it's self-paced and self-study. And that book in particular, that course, is going to be called Podbook It, The Three Phases of Greatness to Write Your Book, Launch a Podcast, and Create a Legacy. That's going to be launching in 2022, and definitely going to be doing some more speaking in 2022 as well, whether it's virtual or in person again. Definitely going to be doing that as well, because I'm on a mission to encourage people and help people advance in life. And I'm also on a stretch goal for myself of going north, is to interview at least 1,000 different authors on the globe. And I've done at least 500 plus so far. So Those are just some things I got on the horizon. Growth is happiness, and I intend to keep growing like a tree, because your business will only grow as far as you can grow yourself. So always invest in yourself, and then your business will grow along with you.
Well said. And anyone out there that may be interested in starting a podcast, maybe just getting into media in general, or perhaps they want to start making content like us or writing books, do you think there's a simple first step a lot of people could do for that?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, the first thing is to think to yourself, do I really need to start a podcast? That's the major thing, because it's a lot of work. I'm sure you felt that in your head early with the StreamYard platform, because technology doesn't always work. I do pre-recorded, and I still have issues from time to time where it's like halfway through the interview, the darn media file was cut silent. Like setbacks are gonna come in multiple ways. That happened to me once. Like, the interview was good. It was about a good. The audio file was like 38 minutes, and then I'm 17 minutes into the editing piece, and then the rest of it was just gone. And I'm like, what?
Oh my god!
I was so freaking pissed. It's a challenge, and you have to be consistent with it. You have to be in it for the long haul, because there's some shows out there where they just come out for a season or whatever, just to be like a book podcast or like a murder series podcast or whatever. But like, if you're really going to do it, then find it if you really want to do it. After that, look at a couple other shows, see what they're doing, and then see if it applies to you, and then just work on your theme, how you want the show to work, and then just start your show, especially when you have the technology. If you have a good solid mic, like this Blue Snowball microphone, it was like $50 like 4 years ago. I think it's like $69 now or whatever. And it's been a pretty great mic for me. Like, a lot of folks would be like, oh, get a Blue Yeti. Oh, the Blue Yeti's trash. I'm like, just get a darn good mic and get yourself a decent computer and just really go for it. And then just grow as you go along, because like myself, like, my first ever episode, the quality wasn't all that great because I did that on Skype with a bad microphone that was trash and had to outsource that. And even though I was fumbling and stumbling my way through, like, I was a disaster that eventually became more of a master. And I say more of a master because I don't consider myself a master at it yet. I consider myself like a brown belt at this, not a black belt, because even though I got 500 plus episodes under my belt, I can still learn. There's still more room for growth, and just take it as far as you can go. So definitely find out if you truly want to start a podcast first, if you're serious about it. And if you are, study other podcasts to see what they're doing to make their shows work. And then also just make sure you get your technology right. Just start with what you have, like getting a good Windows 10 or an Apple PC. Don't get a Chromebook. Don't do it. You're going to hate life after 1 year of having it. That happened to me. And just really just start, and don't wait too long to start, because sometimes we can let ourselves and talk ourselves out of success. Don't talk yourself out of success by waiting too long.
Good. And you gave some really good advice there. Some advice that, you know, I definitely agree with. And again, you've been doing this way longer than me, and I hope I could possibly learn from you as well, you know? So definitely a lot of helpful stuff there. So another thing I want to ask is, if you could possibly go back in time and talk to your younger self, what would you tell
him? Wow. If younger self, I'd definitely tell him, I'd say three things pop in my head. The first thing I would tell him, read John Maxwell's books, especially if you're 18. Like, read John Maxwell's books. Read every single one you can get your hands on. Then join Toastmasters. Apply what you learn from the books. And then when you get in the gym, make sure you stay in the gym no matter what happens. No matter what, if you're feeling bad that day, just go anyway. Like, because the thing is, like, I've been a yo-yo my whole life, basically. Grew up as a fat kid, then towards the end of high school, got to like 160 pounds, stayed there, but got a little bit of muscle, like, growing up. And then, like, after some grief, gained some weight back, and then lost it again. Then COVID happened, gained some again, now lost some again. So make sure you stay in the gym as well, because the thing is, the more you put your body to work in the gym and keep yourself physically fit, your whole mind, your whole body, your whole being will be a lot more fit. You'll be more spiritually fit, more mentally fit, and you'll be able to take on more obstacles and challenges if you're fit in those ways.
Excellent, excellent. And as we end off this show, are there any sort of final words you'd like to give to the audience? Any other nuances or maybe piece of advice you'd want to give?
Sure thing. Well, the first thing is thank you, Jimbo, for having me on your show, man. Like, this is freaking awesome, dude. Because I never want to hesitate to show gratitude, man. Like, this is good. This is good. Just been great interview, man. Man asked some great questions. And definitely got to thank Pastor Bob Thibodeau for hooking us up together as well. And for those out there still listening, like, never hesitate to show gratitude in your life. Like, someone holds the door for you, thank them right then and there. If someone doesn't, don't worry. Like, after a while, people just hold doors for me now when not even second thought, because I decided to create my own world. Like, no matter how crazy it is out there, you can still create your own world if you take the wonderful steps to really make it happen for you. So never hesitate to show gratitude and take the action today, that first step to creating your own world.
All right. Thanks again, Dom. All right. Also, guys, make sure you buy David Medanski's book. He's giving a lot of interesting weight loss advice that could really help out there. So, yeah, go purchase that. Thanks again, man. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show.
Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.